Can you tell me your name?
Moses Henze.
And where are you from, Moses?
Alakakit, right here.
Have you always lived here?
Yeah.
What year were you born?
1930.
And who taught you how to make snowshoes?
Just myself. How I start is, somebody built snowshoes for me. Well, I was around 18 years, less than that, I think. And we trap over this way. And long ago, you know, only about four dogs. And we have to walk. And we got stick right in front of sled, you know. And we can hold that one. And steer the sleigh, walking with snowshoes. And while I was doing that, and them dogs is way out there, you know. I don't know how. I touch one of my dog out there. Pretty soon I just break that snowshoes right off like this. This is how I started make snowshoes.
Because you broke yours?
Yeah. And nobody to make snowshoes for me. And that was around, somewhere around March, I think. So I got some kind of willows and put it right back up again and tie it, you know. And that way I use it all that winter.
What did you tie it with?
Anything, caribou skin rope or something like that. Stick right on top of it, you know, and tie it down and bolt it. And that next summer, 1949, I think. Yeah, 49. One next summer, I start think, my, I got no snowshoes, so I have to try to make snowshoes for myself. And we stayed down there with Jimmy Kaikuk that time. And I cut birds, and I see him working on snowshoes, you know. And I was doing good, but in point, you know, I leave it too close together like this where I supposed to bend it.
And you overlapped it?
Yeah. And after I bent it and the front part is too long than the back part, you know. So I threw it away again. I threw it away and try other one again. And that one I bent it good.
Did you bend it by hand?
No, with stick. Oh, that, you mean that point? Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, by hand like this. And I get it close enough in point, you know, where I could reach 5 inches. And I hold it down like this really good, you know. Because when I move it around a little bit in one corner, just go like this.
Goes to the side.
Yeah. So when I start to bend it, I really have to be really careful to just try to make it even like this. Mm-hmm. Until I got that cross pieces in front. That way, that's only way I could bend snowshoes. See, I get sweating. And at that time, you know, I was staying with my mother yet, and she filled that snowshoes. And I never learned that filling too.
What was your mother's name?
Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Stephen's mom.
Elizabeth Bergman.
Bergman, yeah. And after we got married, and one fall we started to stay down. There was we had no kids anyway. So we stayed down to around 13 miles down there. We had a cabin there. We stayed there in fall time. And we had no snowshoes again. And I bent it before. We had no snowshoes. It's all ready for snow, you know, started to snow a little bit. I started to go out every day cutting birds. And I was out of luck with it too that time. Every bird I take it home, you know, and that evening I started playing it and get them ready, starting to go like this and it break.
When you started bending it?
Yeah, break off. I don't know how many birds I break off, but I keep trying. Because if I give up, you know, you'll have a hard time without snowshoes. So I really try. And pretty soon I got some kind, it was bent kind of funny, but just good enough to walk in it. So we started. I started dry it. We dry it. Next thing is no rope. It was too far away from here, you know, where we could get caribou skin rope or something. No rope. We had a piece of, we had moose skin, thin one, a thick one. But she scraped it down to 10, you know, so it'd be narrow. And we started. I never cut rope before, too. And I started to cut it. Go like this. What? Big knife, that's all, too. I always go about this far. And I cut it.
About a yard, huh?
Yeah, cut it. Cut it off. But we tie it. And we really work on it. And all that, when we tie it, you know, we always put some kind of ashes. You know those black ashes? We always put that kind on point so it wouldn't slip off. After we dry it, all that rope was just black, just like. And next thing is, we started fill that snowshoes. I don't know how she learned though. Good thing it was old pair of snowshoes. Somebody threw it away, you know. It was laying there. She started to look at that one. Look at that one. She filled it.
How did you make the holes?
I drill it with Mallet drill. That Mallet drill, someplace around here. I drill it, you know, about this far apart.
About an inch?
Mm-hmm. I always use my finger. I see a lot of people that make snowshoes. I see where they could mark. They measure it, but I use my finger all the time, you know, And that's all I know, that fall. You can close it for a while.
How did you make the binding to put your foot in? How did you tie your foot on?
Yeah, we have to measure it, you know. You know, I have to measure it all the time, because when I make snowshoes for white people, it make it longer, though. Because a lot of them use boots, you know, sometimes. And I know that. I always have to measure about a little over 1 feet, I guess. Where we could stand, you know.
About how long do you make the snowshoes?
How long?
Mm-hmm.
About a little over 5 feet. Mm-hmm. That's for men's, you know. Women's is 4 feet and a half, from 4 feet and a half up to 5 feet, about just right for women's, you know.
How do you make the front curve up?
We have to use stick. You see, I got this picture of it up here. No, not that one. I sent them out to where I was supposed to work for, you know.
Yeah. I sent it out.
I bent it like this first.
Bent it round.
Yeah. And then I two of them, you know, and I tie it together like this with willows.
At the end?
Mm-hmm. The whole thing. And leave the front part loose so I can just put a stick between right here and bend it up like this. That's what I do.
Do you wet the wood before you bend it?
No. I never wet it.
Do you bend it while it's green?
Green, you know. Mm. It's easy to bend while it's never get dry up.
Do you color the snowshoes in any way when they're done?
What's that?
Do you make the snowshoes a different color than the wood?
Oh, yeah. I use some kind of rock. What they used long ago. Red rock. I'll tell a story about that one, too. Mm. You know, Grandpa, who again? Grandpa, little Beatus, give us a little piece of that kind of rock, you know. And I use all that one. And we don't know how to make it, really. And they tell me that we have to leave it on some kind of fish blood on that rock, you know. Leave it on some kind of fish blood and leave it in can for a while and burn it. With some kind of red willows, you see. Dry willows, anyway. So one fall, I started make shavings like this. I make a place for that rock, you know. I don't know how to make it. Make it about this high and make fire under so it'll get red, you know. All evening I try that. That rock just turned just black, that's all. Not red. And I give up. And we don't really know how to make it. they make it some way this so it all crack up to little pieces, and then I leave it in can in house. Look what to do. On one evening, it was cold like this. I put wood in the stove before we go to bed, you know. I grabbed one of that rock, you know, and I threw it inside heater where there's a really big fire, and leave it in there. First thing in morning, I try to check for that rock, you know. Where's that? Get it. No, it's down there. And first thing in the morning, I started to check it. I never make fire and look for that rock. I'm just going to grab it. Just red. And that's the way they make it. That's only one we really got stuck with. We really got stuck because we don't know how to make it. But after I make it, and it's just like easy for us.
Is there any special place where you have to find those rocks?
Yeah, we have to go some kind of special place to find it because... one time we was fight fire up John River, you know, above Bedell someplace, and that's where they used to find it. And Robert tell me, this one good one right there. And tell me, it was big, you know. I take him home, I put it inside my back, you know, and I keep it. That's the one I got right here. That's the way it turned after we burned it. But I sure had a hell of a time with it starting out. You see, after that snowshoes dry up, you know, really good. I have to dry it good, though. Because when I don't dry it good and I start to drill it, you know, all that hole where I make it just pluck up like this, just like. So I have to dry it for a long time and start playing it and start drill it.
Do you just rub the stone then on the
stove? We got rock, flat rock for this, you know. We leave under stove all the time. You know, I always just put little water, little piece of water, drop it in there, and start rub it like this. See, that's the way it is. I threw water in there and just rub it like this, inside the water, and then turn out red. And I just... like this on the birds, you know, snowshoe.
Just rub it on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's old ways. There's a lot of ways maybe they make snowshoes, but nobody tell me how to make it. I just start it myself. Because if I don't make snowshoes, I really would have half the time, I think. Really. That's how I start.
Does the red color help the snowshoe? Does it help the wood?
Oh, yeah.
What does it do?
I don't know why they use it, but anyway, it just stay there for a while, you know. It make a good color, really. I don't know why they use it. That's from long ago. That's their paint, I think. Same way with this leaf, what I make for Arizona. I mean, who's that? Wisconsin someplace.
Museum.
Yeah. I used that rock, too, on that sled, you know. That's what they wanted.
So you make sleds also?
Yeah, I make sled too.
Do you also bend the wood
mm-hmm.
in the sled?
Yeah, same way just like with snowshoes. That one is a little easier than snowshoes.
Once you get the snowshoe bent and you've rubbed on the red coloring, what do you do next?
Next thing is I start drill it. You know, I got that crooked knife. The reason why I painted is I always have to make that line, you know, where I'm going to drill it. You see? I got one of those native style crooked knife. I got them someplace there. I just pull it and steady like this and make a little tiny line, you know, so that way I can drill the hole right straight on the birds.
How many holes do you drill in the snowshoes?
Oh, a lot. You see, what? Not quite 1 inch apart, you know.
You use the measurement of the first joint in your thumb?
No, Yeah, I use backside first. You know, I just go around like this. Just like. That's the way I drill it. A lot of people did just use it any side, I think, but that's the way it's supposed to be.
You start at the back?
Yeah, one end. And just go around like this. This is my knife, what I use for the snowshoes.
How did you make the knife?
Oh, I got this from long ago. It used to be my really grandpa's, I think, who they call Linus, you know. They say he used to be a snowshoe maker too. That's what I heard anyway. So he used this knife and I try hang on to it. So see, that's the way it works, like that. And see, that's where I use this knife, right there.
How do you hold the knife on? Do you rest the knife on the wood?
Yeah, I just hold it like this, kind of like this, you see. I just have to hold it with my finger like this. So far apart like this. It's pretty hard to stay on line with this one, though. Because if you go off, you go off too. And I have to really watch pretty careful to just make a straight line like this.
And you make the line on the inside of the snowshoe?
Yeah, inside and outside, see?
Both,
right? See? Inside. Mm-hmm. That's just for that drilling, that's all, I think, they use it. But they use it like that before, so I have to use it too, the way they do, you know.
Caribou that you use for the
filling, right?
Filling up. Uh-huh. That's not tanned, or is it?
No. She can tell a story about that. How did?
Oh, have you talked about this yet?
Yeah.
When do you put in the wood across the snowshoe?
No.
When do you put this in?
After it dry, you know. After I drill this whole thing, you see, drill the whole thing, and then next thing I do is tie it right here first.
On the front.
Uh huh. And I got this one just right already, though.
Crossbar.
Uh-huh. And after I put that in, two sides, and I just get some kind of rope and tie it like this right here so it'll stay.
Across the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't come off until put this one on and tie
back
it right there.
Piece. And then tie the back part.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
When there's fresh caribou skin, we clean it on the meat side first. Then we clean it on the first side. And then we make it real clean, and then we cut it for snowshoes filling.
Where do you start filling?
From the back.
Way back?
Mm-hmm.
How about this, the middle part? Do you do that last?
No. Yeah. After I fill it, then he fixed that foot place.
This always have to go last, I think, after she fill it.
Do you have a pattern that you follow for the filling in?
No.
From your own memory?
First is I copy old snowshoes. Then I just keep filling snowshoes every year. Then I just know what to do with it. That's the way to put it.
When did you first fill snowshoes?
When I was 20 years old.
About, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I was telling a story about that place, you know, when we were stuck down at camp. Yeah.
When you're threading the snowshoe, is the caribou harder than it is now? Or is it about...
Just the way it is.
No change. And is this caribou also in the middle?
No, that's moose skin.
Moose in the middle. Mm. How come you use moose for the middle part and caribou for the others?
It'll break. Too narrow, you know. See, this is caribou skin, how thin it is. But moose skin rope is like this.
Yeah, thick.
Mm-hmm.
And you prepare the moose skin the same way as the caribou? Clean the meat side first?
Mm-hmm. This is out of tanned moose hide.
The binding?
Mm-hmm.
How come you use tanned for the binding and raw for the rest?
I just use it like that from the way back.
Tell me about making sleds?
Yeah. I always look for birds in summertime, in fall time, especially because We have to go long ways to get birds in here after it burned, you know. Only way we could get it is with boat. So we have to go way out and cut birds and bring it down. I always get it one time, you know. So that way I don't have to work, go out there and get birds. Just cut it down one time, you know. And cut it to short pieces for cross pieces. And split it and leave it in house, you know, to dry up. And sleigh runners is, I always have to use axe, you know, to chop it about where I need it, you know, lower trenches or trains, and rip it with hand saw, you know. And same way with inside rails too. I use one birch all the time, you know, for the inside rails. And it take me long time though, because when I start rip it, but after I go through though, I have to rip it about 1 inch for inside rails, you know. And I get it all ready, like runners and inside rails. Get them all ready and I get the bender. And I bend the runners and inside rails same time. And we always have to leave it in house, you know, where it'll dry. Leave it there for at least 2 weeks maybe. Then by the time I get everything ready, you know, like a bow for the front and for the back. And after I get everything ready now, and then I take this sleeve bender down, you know, and take it off. And then we got some kind of stick that we can put this runners on, you know. We make it white, we want it. And then when I start to put the runners on, I always have to just put it on top of this and put nail, put a couple nail on it, you know, so it wouldn't move around. And I start to measure where I'm going to put this stanchions like this. So far apart. You know.
The stanchion?
Mm-hmm. That way. And I measure it and start to make hole on runners, you know, where I want it for these stanchions. I tie all these stanchions on the same way on this side. And I tie it with rope now on the runners too. That one is kind of hard for me to drill sometimes because I use those bit, you know, at least about 3/4 inch bit, you know. And then I make hole for that rope where that standards will be, you know, where that standards will tie up to this runners right there. Long ago, sometimes they use some kind of screw, you know, but I never did use that kind before. I always have, I don't know why, because the reason why I do is we always have dogs, you know, and every way have to be light. That's the only way we could travel around, you know. When there's too much snow, you know, I always want to have light sleigh, really light sleigh. And that's how come I never use screw on it, I think.
How long do you make the sled usually?
About 10 feet, 12 feet sometimes, you know.
Do you, on the bow, do you wrap that with anything?
Oh yeah, we'll have to use some kind of sandpaper. I always use sandpaper, you know. After it dry up, you know. Just like this. It's always it crack off, you know. Every birch, you know, when we don't plane it on top, there's heartwood right on top here. I always have to plane that thing off before, every way. Like snowshoes, same thing, and sleigh runners is same thing. Just cut this top thing off. After we cut it off, and it'll be soft, just like when we don't cut it off, you know, it just crack off like this. It don't hurt though. We can play it off after it dry up. It sometimes it takes me a long time to mix ladle. But one time done, where I tell a story about, we used to have camp there. We was poor anyway, you know, we had no gas lamp or nothing to. So I used 4 candles, like this. And I make a sleigh like that, that fall. I don't know how come we never get blizzard up here. We run short or something, I think. So I make a sleigh that fall. I make pretty good size sleigh that fall too. Because them days, you know, I used to, I don't know, I was young anyway. I break sleigh every year. And I have to build sleigh every fall that way. And right now is, I don't know how many years ago I built this sleigh. I'm getting old, I think, so I try to take care of my things now.
How do you pick the birch you use? Do you pick any birch tree, or do you have, is there a special kind of birch tree you try and choose?
I always look for some kind of special birch, you know. I never cut any kind, because, you know, the reason why I don't like to cut any kind is, it'll be good, you know, but sometimes it'll break off, just like this. It'll just break off just like this, because that's bomb birch, you know. If we get good one, it'll last longer.
How thick is the birch tree you cut down?
Good size, about this wide again.
8 inches maybe?
Oh, about 8 inches. That way I could get everything out of one, you know. I always look for straight one though.
Is the fall time the best time to get birch?
Yeah, for me. But like right now, we go out there some place where there's lots of birds, we could get some place like that too, I think. It's no good. But winter time is kind of hard for me to find a really good one, because too cold, you know. And when it gets cold, you know, that birds always just freeze. So every time I start to go to good birds, it's like, you know, I make, chop it off, the bark off, you know, and put my hand in there for a while. You see, just try to warm that top off, so hold it there for a while, and I cut a little piece off, you know, and tear it off, see if it'll be straight grain, you know. That's what I want. Uh-huh. That's the only way I could find good one.
How did you learn how to make sleds?
You know, long ago, we raised different just like than right now. We always want to try to make something just like, you know. And one time we had camped on about 4 miles, I think. And William Kaikuk, he was 1 year older than me. His mama was my auntie, my mom's sister. So we stayed down here in fall time again. And we had no sleigh. We got sleigh, but it was back in South Fork. So William Kaikuk and me, one time we just play around, you know. Pretty soon it started to snow a little bit, a couple inches, no sleigh. So we go back in where the big timber is, lots of big white tree, you know. And we cut down. He cut down one himself too, and me too. And we split it in half. About this long, I think.
About 2 yards?
About 3 feet long, I think. And we make the runners about this wide, you know, this box sleigh. And we split this cross pieces to put it on top. And next, I should draw it. And back end, you know, end of this sled right here, we put little stick up, just like sleigh, you know. Just like this, and put a stick to this point here, where it bent a little bit.
Toward the front.
Yeah. That's where I started to tell stories. I never make nothing back here, you know, where I can stand. No place to stand. Because I just put this cross piece, right, just like this. That fall. I drive dogs in it though, but I have to stay inside, that's all too. Because every time I try to stand on it, but no place to stand on. Same time as we have to run all the time too, and we make that sleigh, you know. We drive about 2 dogs each, I think. It was down here about 4 miles down this way. And we come up in that fall, you know. There was a bunch of people was here. Lots of dogs they had, no snuggle, you know. Everybody had dogs. And there was one guy named Lucian Sam. He used to live down here, you know, right down here someplace. And our house, we stayed with somebody down here, you know. He had a bunch of dogs tied up. I was right through by that dogs, you know. Dogs started to make lots of noise. And then Lucian come out, you know. He used to be my friend, just like, you know. As soon as he see my sleigh, he start to laugh. And really laugh. I tie my dogs back up there, you know. He walk up to me. And he really look at it. Who tell you fellas to make this kind of sleigh? He tell me. I know, I tell him. And we stay here for a while. Next we'll go down there. Go down to camp and stay down there. And that winter, I don't know how we get our sleigh again from the way up South Fork, you know. And how I learned how to make sleigh is I take it apart, the sleigh, you know. His daddy, we had no sleigh too, because my father died when I was about 4 years, I think. Really, I barely know him. And every way is I have to do it myself, every way. And then first is after my father died and my grandpa gave us sleigh, you know. We used that one for a long time and it break off. And then we had no sleigh, but her daddy gave me a sleigh, you know, what he don't use. He make a new one. We used that one. I take them apart. I don't know how. I take them all apart, you know, and rebuild it. And that way I learn how to make sleigh. Yeah, that one is, I don't really have hard time to make sleigh because I know it's just like, you know, I never work on it, but I see what they do on the sleigh, you know. That way, just like I know.
When did Marie's father give you the sled?
That's before I built the sleigh, you know. That's before I built my own sleigh. You know, that was, I don't know how many years ago. That one is. I just couldn't know how many years ago. Anyway, before I make snowshoes. Yeah, every way is I have to do it myself because there's nobody that could help me. Help around. Just like house is, I'll tell story yet. House is same way. we stay with my grandma down here, you know. Old Henzi and his wife. And one spring, you know, there was bad flu going around. You know. Two of them just died one time.
What year was this?
1944, 45. Somewhere around there. Because Linus was born already.
Born in 1944.
About 45, I guess. And then we stay in their house, me and Mom, you know. And that spring it started to cave in. And that house fell over the bank. I was stuck. Next winter I didn't know where I'd stay. No place. So Grafton Kaikuk, you know, they started to cut logs. They lost their house too that same year, I think. In August, they started to go up a lot in the river, you know, just to cut their logs. So I started to go with them. I had a canoe, good sized canoe, you know. Could leave my things inside. And we'd go up about 4 miles again. I never even think I'll try to make house this, but I just think about the logs. So I go up with them. I cut down what they don't cut down, you know. Like, I try to make small house. And they're cutting big logs, so they lift those small ones. I cut down that kind. I don't know how many logs I cut that fall. I started to cut logs every day. I mean, not every day, but I try to think I'll make house. I get around maybe pretty close to 30 logs. And then I get some of this old logs what that fall off over the bank here. I pull out some of them, some good ones. And I use some of that one. That fall, I started work on the house. Anyway, it was really low. I don't know how many log high, but I make the gable just like this, you know. It was pretty low house. Anyway, we had house now. Yeah, that's the way, that's what I do, you know. Yeah. After we got married, we stayed there for 1 year or two, I guess.
More than a year.
Mm-hmm. And after we cut these logs. We cut these logs, too. I'll tell a story. We cut these logs, you know, in springtime. It was easy now for me. I know what I'm doing. I know what kind is good logs. And there was no snow go yet. We went up there with dogs and we cut down. People was helping us too sometimes. We borrowed dogs. We cut all these big logs right there. And that spring, they helped me to raft this log down, you know. And we always leave raft up here, right end of this town, you know, this good place. No swift or nothing. We always leave pile of raft in there.
Big eddy in
there. Yeah. And then we, I don't know how, for some way that rope just come off with 40 logs, I think. Mm-hmm. Half of this log anyway. It just flew down. I thought I would good thing. But good thing, that year, you know, he used trading post, he buying logs. And some guys cut logs for Hughes that time. And I started to ask around, see if they'd go down. And pretty soon I asked David, and he said, they're going to raft their log down. I tell him, I could go with you. He said, yeah. No, I got a chance, I just think. We go down about 20 miles, you know. Before we went to Hughes, I went down to just look for that raft, you know. I go down first, our camp, but we didn't see nothing. So I come up, next David was going to go down with logs, you know. They cut logs for use, trading post. And then I started to go with him. He was going way down, about 20 miles, I guess. And pretty soon we see that log stuck under the bank. Good thing it was a good place to. We found the whole thing in there. We let our raft go, you know. And we go back and get this raft on. Start to go to that other one. We sure work though, put that log on top of that raft, you know. Put whole thing on top of the raft and I started to go down with him. And so once we get down there and I asked this guy that buying logs, you know, he used trading post. I tell him I cut logs for house this spring and 40 float away from me and I got him down here. Could you buy it? I tell him. He said, yeah. And I sell him to him. Yeah, that far I could tell story. Yeah, around 1952, when we was stay down the camp, that same winter, we used to go out and trap for marten and mink. We used to stay out for 10 days sometimes. And we get mud spot. Well, let's just go out there and trap. Lindbergh goat us too. That's what dogs, you know. From right there, about maybe about 40 miles from right here, I think. And we got camped down here. Another one up there where they call 96. From there up to Big Lake. And sometime we, from in there we went down that way too. We had another camp there. And once in a while, you know, when it snowed lots, that's really hard for us them days. One time we was up there, her and me. And one night it snowed about this much, I guess.
2 feet maybe?
Yeah, almost, because in the evening it started to snow, you know. In the morning we hardly see that sleigh just left. We started to come down. Right. We had only one tent too. You know those tents when it freeze? It just got really big. You can't fool it just right, you know. And heavy too. Just that tent alone way hard. And she walked ahead of the dog sometimes. We had a hard time make it to tent. Walking, walking. And sometime though, when it never snow, you know, we had easy time though. Really easy time. It's lots of fun for us when we go out like that. Because we always have to half camp different place and move to different place. All the time. And what once in a while though, when it really gets cold, it's really hard for us to. Really. Because we have to keep fire going all night. Not all night, but can't sleep good, really. Because too cold, and then we have to make fire all the time. Stay up. But that one time, that's all I know, it was really cold when we was up there. Even 50 blues here, it's really cold out in camp. And one time we had bear trapping back here. Maybe from here about 20 miles, I guess. We had to camp in there for bear. We had two camp, one further out. But there was not much beaver. So we come back towards this town, you know. And there's lake here. And we got, it was cold. March, February. And we really dig down, you know. That's the way we make camp all the time. Take the snow off right next to the ground. And sometimes we always have to put big stick, like this frame, just like that. And put tent on top, this under this stick here. Let this weight down on it and put snow, cover it. That's the only way we could keep warm. Every morning, you know, that tent, way back there in the corner, just white, frosty, you know. So cold. And we stayed there about 1 month, I think. And we don't even know we was tired. We was young yet, I think. After we get back to this cabin down 13 miles, it was just like this for us. Gee, just get tired. Just like resting out. Good.